broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
You know, we broadcast this radio show in a state-of-the-art studio, and they have really done an amazing job, and we have to give a shout-out to our two engineers, the chief engineer from WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, Sandy Griffin. What a great guy he is. And he designed and built our incredible new studios that we use here in Southern Command of the Todd Starnes radio program in Memphis, Tennessee. Alan Smith is the engineer for KWAM, and the guys just did a terrific job here. Spared no expense for this beautiful facility. But Caleb and Avery, I just discovered something very interesting about our state-of-the-art soundproof studios.
All right.
Yeah.
What's up?
Southern thunderstorms.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're a thing.
I heard a crackle and a rumble, and I thought, what? I thought, well, I haven't had lunch, so maybe I should eat a Ritz cracker. And then I realized it wasn't, I wasn't rumbling. It was the thunder up outside.
Yeah, so occasionally the rain will get intense enough that you'll be able to hear it through the roof, at least here in Gainesville. I don't know if that happens at KWAM,
yeah.
But.
All of that to say, don't be surprised if you hear a couple of peals of thunder in the distance. Hey, look, I want to go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. We have been following these crazy developments out of California, where Governor Gavin Newsom has basically declared war on Christians. They've told Christians when they can worship, how they can worship. Now we understand that California has banned Bible study groups. Well, here to help us understand that is our good friend Matt Staver from Liberty Council and California pastor Che On. Pastor Matt Staver, welcome to the show.
Good to be with
you. Thank you, Todd, on your show.
Matt, let's start with you. What's going on here? Tell us about this ban on Bible studies.
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, Governor Newsom first banned all singing and chanting, and that would include any in-church service as well as home. No singing and chanting across the board through the whole state of California. Then just about a week ago, he went further, and in 30-plus counties that are on the so-called county monitoring list, you can't have any in-person worship, and that also includes in-home Bible studies and fellowship. So you cannot have your neighbor over or a friend over, nor can you go to a friend's house to have a Bible study or have any home fellowship. So we ended up filing a federal lawsuit early in the morning, Saturday, just a few days ago in California. We represent Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministries. Harvest International Ministries has 162 churches and religious organizations that are affiliates in California alone, 65,000 or so worldwide. Every one of their churches in California are affected. So here's what you have. 80% of the population in California, in the 30-plus counties, no worship at all, no home Bible study, no fellowship. Outside of that, the 20% or so of the remaining population, and those restrictions could soon go on them as well, you can have limited in-person service, no more than 100 people in a church, no matter if you have a 5,000-seat sanctuary. But you cannot sing or chant, and that includes in your home. So you can't bring your neighbor over and at the end of your Bible study sing Amazing Grace. But in the majority of the counties, you can't even have your neighbor over or go to a neighbor to even read the Bible or have fellowship, let alone sing. This is the most outrageous restriction we've seen, to think that the government has the authority to ban in-home Bible studies and fellowship and to ban worship across the state is absolutely incredible.
Pastor, I'm wondering if you have gotten any feedback from government leaders. I mean, have you reached out to local leaders to say, wait a second, we just want to have Bible study here, and we're doing the social distancing protocols?
Yes. With the first lockdown, we notified our city council, our chief of police in Pasadena. We have a wonderful relationship with the civic leaders because We purchased the Ambassador Auditorium in 2004, and it's an icon in Pasadena. It's where Pavarotti sang right before he died. Some of the who's who in classical music, but also people like Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra sang in our auditorium. It was owned by the Worldwide Church of God with Herbert Armstrong, a cult. And we saw one of the most amazing miracles take place in the 90s, where the third successor became born again, and he completely repented of their false doctrine, and they became part of the National Association of the Evangelical Church. But they went from 300,000 members down to 30,000, and they ran out of money. And so because I was praying with Joseph Tagach, the new leader, through Love LA, a prayer gathering that Jack Hayford and Lord Ogilvie started, who became the Senate chaplain, we became friends. And he said, would you like to buy it? But you have to sign a non-disclosure legal statement, because I want to sell it to you for one-third of the price of what it's valued. It was valued over $30 million. He wanted to sell it to me for $13 million.
Okay.
And we said it's a done deal. So I came into the law office, signed it. And since then, we have used that as an outreach to our city. We want to serve our city. We love our city. So we've opened up the incredible concert venue. It's like the Carnegie Hall of the West Coast, to host concerts, and we share the gospel after in the beginning of each concert. I would just say very briefly, welcome to Ambassador Auditorium, the home of Harvest Rock Church, and we are honored to serve our city by opening this up, and it's based on the words of Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Welcome to the concert, enjoy yourself, and that's it. And so we've had this wonderful relationship, and I felt like, you know, for PR purposes, I need to be upfront, let them know that, you know, we're going to continue to meet, even though there's a lockdown. And so I sent a letter. The chief of police was the only one that responded and just said, look, we're not going to cite you. You know, at the most, we'll dialogue with you just to talk through a little bit more of the issues that you're facing. So we went ahead. But having said that, during that first lockdown, I was a dear friend of mine, Cindy Jacobs, contacted me and said, listen, I would recommend that you contact Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel and see if he could be your attorney in case there's a citation or in case anything goes wrong. And I am so grateful for Matt and Liberty Counsel. They came right immediately, 24 hours, responded to my email, my message I left, and I said, can you represent us in Harvest International Ministry? There's a network of churches I lead that's in 70 nations, but for California, though, for the United States.
Okay, so well, let me jump in here, Pastor, because we really don't have a lot of time. My apologies here. Matt Staver.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Yes, Matt Staver, let's get back to the issue here. Being the attacks on churches and the idea that you cannot have a Bible study, has the church been threatened? Have the members received any communication from city leaders about holding Bible studies?
Well, you know, how this most recent thing, the singing and chanting is about 2 weeks old. The no worship is about a week old. And it's about a week ago this past Tuesday when that came out. We were in the process of preparing a suit against singing and chanting. And then this came out, which is even more egregious. And that's when Pastor Che contacted us again. And so that's when we put together a lawsuit and filed it Saturday morning about 4 a.m. Eastern time. And so that's still in the process right now. So we haven't had contact from local leaders, and we should be getting a response. The court has ordered the governor to respond by August 3, so the case is on a very fast track. But, you know, this is another one of those situations. And in fact, I think it's the first and only situation, Todd, in the whole country where this kind of extensive ban on in-home and also in-person worship, and then even outside of that, the limited number of counties that are left, no singing and chanting has ever happened. There are direct commands in the scriptures, old and new, about singing praises to the Lord. There's also laying on of hands. You can't do that by some virtual service. You know, there's also in-person times when you get together. Jesus was very communal,
right?
A fellowship. What this government is doing through Gavin Newsom is literally micromanaging church worship and telling you what kind of practice of worship. And that's way beyond his constitutional authority. And that's why we represent
Are you sure about that, though, Matt? Wait. Are you sure about that? Because the Supreme Court No, the Supreme Court ruled on this, did they?
Oh, no, it didn't rule. And you know that, Todd. I know you're just chiding me. But it didn't rule. It actually was an emergency motion pending appeal. So there is no ruling.
And what did the Supreme Court say,
it.
Though? But what? What did the Supreme Court say, though?
Well, the Supreme Court didn't say anything. It was Chief Justice John Roberts who gave a concurring opinion. There is no opinion at the Supreme Court on this issue. None. And so some of the media really, really got that wrong. You know, we're litigating now in four courts of appeal and now obviously in California about this. The Supreme Court is going to take one of these cases, and I think once they get the full case for review, there's no way that this is going to be upheld at the United States Supreme Court. Going back to 1947, the Supreme Court said that the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment means at a minimum that you cannot force someone to go to church against their will or prevent them from attending church against their will.
So I just want to make sure, the Supreme Court blog, the SCOTUSblog.com, says the court declines to lift restrictions on crowds at church services. And the media coverage at the time, all I'm saying here is the Supreme Court has weighed in on this. And I mean,
they haven't really weighed in. It's like
so
having a petition. No, they haven't weighed in. It's like asking the court to take a case and they don't. Well, there's no precedent. There's no opinion. This was a very narrow case in which they asked the court to do something very unusual. Intercede while the case is still going on when the lower court still had possession of it. It's a very, very high burden. They ultimately ruled 5-4. We're not going to intercede right now. And there's no opinion. It was just denied. And then John Roberts wrote this concurring opinion. It has no precedential value at all. There is no weighing in on this. And so we will have one of these cases, perhaps one of ours, going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We have victories at the Court of Appeals, but there's also a split in the Court of Appeals, and that makes a very good case for a Supreme Court review. So I think we'll ultimately get a case there. I think the Supreme Court ultimately will rule in our favor. I mean, this is a very – one of the things about the Supreme Court, they've been problematic in a couple of cases, obviously, in June. But by and large, it is a very strong court on religious freedom, and this is clearly implicating religious freedom. And we don't have a pandemic pause button during any kind of crisis or COVID. There is no setting aside of the Constitution or religious freedom, and I think we'll ultimately prevail across the country and stop this insanity once and for all.
Oh, well, I hope somebody does, and the Supreme Court does need to intervene and put a stop to this nonsense.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
really
do.
All right, Matt Staver, thanks for coming on. Liberty Counsel, Pastor, thank you. Good luck to you both. Folks, got to leave it there. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Don't mean to get every now and again a little heated. I got a little heated in that last segment, didn't I, guys?
Just a smidge.
But it bothers me because, look, I mean, the Supreme Court, they came down and they had a chance to intervene and they did not. And as a result, they could have, had they decided to intervene, churches would have been protected from Governor Gavin Newsom, but they were not. I mean, there's no reason to, you know, again, I mean, that's the story. That's the story. And it frustrates me. All right. Let's get to the phones here. New Market, Alabama. Ed is listening to us on the live stream. Ed, what's going on?
I'm sitting here enjoying your broadcast.
Well, you're kind to say that, Ed. Thank you. Okay, let's put Ed on hold. Let's go to James in Illinois. James, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. How about Todd Starnes 2024? Does that strike a bell?
No. I want somebody to hit me on the head with a bell if that ever happens, James.
You and I are similar age group. I'm 60. You remember the mid-70s when our own school system transitioned from teaching real history to teaching civics and current events?
Oh, now this is interesting because I am 53. So when I was, I was in grade school, but Ed, to your point, they started teaching civics and social studies when I hit middle school.
Middle school. I was in junior high in those years, and I remember the transition very well. So you and Chris Plant both have been admonishing what they're teaching our kids today. When we're both the participants in what they're, I didn't want to say it that way, what they're teaching our kids. We were in the middle of that transition in the mid 70s.
Well, it's true, and again, this is why I just sincerely believe, James, with all of my heart, that if we are going to save this country, the only way we're going to be able to do that is to take back our school system. All right, I think we lost James, so there you go. We're working through some phone issues today, folks, so bear with us. And we'll try to get back. I understand we have Ed back, but we'll hold him over because I want to chat with Ed for a few moments here. But a lot going on in the country, folks, and I sincerely believe that. That's why I really don't have a problem with the schools not reopening right now, because that's one day out of that public schoolhouse is another day that we can potentially save this country. There are a lot of bad things being taught to our kids in public schools. So I recommend homeschooling private schools. And there are some smaller towns and communities that actually have great public schools. And the reason why is everybody knows everybody. Everybody goes to church together. They're down at the local watering hole together. Everybody's in everybody's business. And by and large, you're teaching kids to be patriots. But those are anomalies. Those are anomalies right now in the American public school system. And again, the story out of Virginia, just mind-blowing. Kindergarten students in Loudoun County, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., have teamed up with the Southern Poverty Law Center to advance a program called Teaching Tolerance, and they're going to teach kindergartners about slavery. Remember, what did they do when we were in grade school, guys? A is for apple, B is for bat. You know, you could go down the list there. S is for slavery. What? We're talking about 4 and 5 years old. 4 and 5 year olds. Are you kidding me?
T is for toxic masculinity.
Oh, that's good. Or transgenderism. Or what if you have a gender fluid alphabet? I mean, A could be B. B could be C.
Could be letter fluid.
Letter fluid. Oh, I like that. I like that.
Well, like why? Sometimes it feels like a consonant. Sometimes it feels like a vowel.
By the way, new poll out from the Wall Street Journal, NBC News. A majority of Americans, 56% of the people they surveyed, believe that American society is racist. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, we got to take a break. We're opening up the phone lines for the next half hour of this program, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Right back to the phone lines. 844-747-8868 is our number. Little Rock, Arkansas, Larry listening to us on KARN. Hi, Larry. What's going on?
Hey, thank you, Mr. Todd. I really appreciate it. You've hit on a couple of hot topics that's close to my heart. I feel like I got an answer to the question about educating our children. I think we need to homeschool them at the local churches, is what I truly believe. I know that sounds whatever, but down here we consolidate and put all the kids in one basket. And that's where all the junk is. There's no American traditional values or you can't pay, you can't do this, you can't do that, and it's going worse and worse and worse. And if we homeschooled them at the local churches, they won't be getting involved in these viruses and everything. You can control their environment even more and more closely, do the social distancing, but still have, let them have their freedoms instead of being treated like animals. And that's my opinion. I apologize, but I believe you can homeschool them at the local churches. And
Larry, don't apologize.
In these local areas also.
All right, Larry, hold on. Just let me ask you a question. First of all, don't apologize, Larry. I think what you had to say was absolutely right, right on the money. Larry, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 58 years old.
All right. Well, I'm 53, and I grew up in in Memphis, but my dad got transferred down to Baton Rouge when I was right around middle school. And that was the time they were desegregating, going through the whole desegregation process of public schools. And there were so many parents that were outraged over this, not because the schools were being because the schools were being desegregated. But Larry, the problem was a lot of these parents, their kids, instead of going to the local neighborhood school, they were being bused 45 minutes to an hour away to go to a class. And this was white and black parents. I mean, moms and dads were infuriated. But
all the values and traditions and all that
gone.
Went with it.
Gone away.
Is what
yes,
I'm
sir.
Saying. You know?
Absolutely.
I don't think we would have, first of all, I don't think we need any new laws or anything like that. We just need to enforce what we got is what we really need to do. And like I said, I'm not talking about being mean to nobody. If they're a Christian, they can come to this home school. I've got a plan where a retired teacher could come in and teach the curriculum. And what harm would it be of them being around Christian adults cooking lunches and stuff like this? You know, and I'll tell you about, I'm talking about bringing discipline back also, but not a stranger discipline. Like if you go to this home school, mama and daddy's coming down here to take care of it, and they got to take care of it. You know what
now,
I'm
Larry,
saying?
Larry, let me, boy, do I. I was not a very good child in elementary school. And at Hope
we
Peace Sullivan.
We must be brothers by different mothers,
we must
sir.
Be. Hope Peace Sullivan Elementary School. The principal would walk the hallways, Larry. And he, I don't know, as a first grader, he looked like he was, 14 feet tall. I mean, big old guy. And he used to have a fiberglass paddle strapped to his belt loops. And that thing had holes drilled in it, so you didn't have to. There wasn't that air cushion when the paddle
no
made impact.
Is what you're saying,
no
sir.
Resistance, Larry. But the problem here is, go ahead.
I needed it. You understand? I really did. I needed it.
Well, I did too. I did too.
But without that, you don't know how to respect no one. And I'm sorry, but that's being as plain as I can be.
It's true. Good point.
How you learn respect is by being taught, which some way, somehow, some fashion, and I'm like you, it took a little bit of sterner deal. But I do believe, though, that if you can't love Jesus, you can't love nobody. And I'm sorry if that's another thing that I really believe. And I hope I'm not in protest mode or nothing like that. Okay?
No. And look, I mean, and look, when I was a kid growing up, as Mama said, if you got in trouble at school, you'd see Jesus when you got back home. So it's all very spiritual. Larry.
Now, I will say this, and you've got a great show, and I love it. I hate to do it, but my platform is, folks, turn off all the sports. Please turn it off. All it's getting to do is stirring up hate and turn it off. If it's not dirt racing, turn it off. Now, I'm involved with dirt racing, and we still say a prayer and pledge allegiance everyone stands in every event we hold, Mr. Todd. So everybody else is kneeling and got hate on their shirts. Turn it off, please. Let them know.
Larry, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a copy of my latest book, Culture Jihad?
I've heard about it, but I do not. No, sir, I sure. I'm sad to say, no, I don't.
Larry, we're gonna put you on hold. Do not hang up. And Avery's going to get your contact information. I'd like to send you a signed copy of Culture Jihad, just a way of saying a great call and welcome to the radio show.
Could you do me a favor, though, Mr. Todd? Could you please help with this idea of the churches getting involved with their young people that go to school or that go to church there?
Yeah, I mean, look, Larry, you've got a whole radio listening audience that's hearing every word you just said, Larry. So I think it's a terrific idea. Larry, hang tight. We're going to get your info. You know, what was it back in the day? Harvard University. A lot of people don't realize this, but godless heathen Harvard University was created to train preacher boys. That was the whole intent of Harvard, was to train up the next generation of preachers. So anyway, it's a great idea, Larry. It really is. All right, let's go to Missouri. Brandel, our chief farm correspondent.
Hi, Todd.
Brandel, how's it going?
It's good. It's good, but I'm fired up. You've got me fired up today.
Oh, what did I do?
Well, in a good way. You know, talking about the schools, and we've been talking about this forever. And so I just don't know if there's any hope to reform these schools. But I was thinking of all these people that are unemployed. Get off your social media and off your phones and homeschool your own kids. Why send them back in the fall whenever, I don't know about your all's area, but around here, half the people don't know what's going on in just over a month of when school starts. What's going on with these kids and what's their schedule? It's just so out of control. And we just parents have got to start taking on our own responsibility for our own children. Quit handing it off to other people. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We have pushed our kids into daycares and into preschools and into the schools, and we're reaping the consequences of it.
You know, it is interesting that you bring that up, because I have noticed, Brandel, that a lot of moms and dads are like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, what have you been doing? I mean, you know, kids have been out of school for, 4 months now? Have you not been teaching the kids? Have you not given them a book to read or do a book report or go out and do a science experiment in the backyard? I mean, what do you mean? What people are so reliant upon the government, Brandel. I think that's a big problem in the country, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I'm just so curious with your audience. I personally don't know anyone who is going to start homeschooling. I hear that the numbers are increasing, but I would like to know in the audience, is anyone going to start homeschooling their kids this fall? I think it would be very interesting to get their input.
You know, that's a terrific question, Brandon. We got to take a break, and we'll toss that question out to all of you folks out there. How many of you have decided to start homeschooling your kids? 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Brandon, thanks for the call. Good hearing from you. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From Ohio, Shiloh, Ohio. She's one of our top fans, by the way, over on the Facebook page. By the way, you can access that page at toddstearns.com. Laura says, Todd, they're not after us. They're after the next generation, our children. We gave our children over to the public school system to educate, and they have educated our children. We have not been involved in the school systems. Most parents don't even go to parent-teacher conferences. We don't know what they're teaching our children. And we think taking them to church one day a week will be enough. It's not. And we are seeing the results of that. That is a powerful, powerful comment from Laura. We're going to pin that one so you can see it there on the live stream of the show. Laura's got a great point. We just, well, folks, you just willingly turn your kids over to the government, and you're surprised people are burning down the the cities. You're surprised now that a majority of people think America is racist? You think that's just coincidental? I mean, really? All right, let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Gene, listening to us on 102.9 FM. Hi, Gene. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Well, I felt the need to call because I have a grandson that lives with me, and my children were all in the public school system. I work in Little Rock, but I live in small town Beebe, Arkansas, and we're a K-12, kind of a tight group, smaller school district, and we were highly involved in our kids' public school education all growing up. And I go to parent-teacher conference for my grandson because his mom's a single parent, and she has to work to be able to survive on her own. We have tried homeschooling with our grandson all through the summer. We did the virtual training when COVID shut the schools down. And unfortunately, we have a grandson who does not see us as a teacher. He sees his grandmother and his mom. I have a daughter that's a teacher in the Little Rock School District. He doesn't even want to sit down and learn with her, who is a certified teacher. He only sees the teachers in his school as his teacher. So the other side of the flip coin with those of us that will send our kids back to public schools in the fall is that's the only way that we can get him taught. But we stay highly involved in his education. So we're not letting the public school district just say whatever they want to say. We try to be very involved. But people that I respect everyone's opinion, but keep in mind that there are those like us who do not have the capacity or the ability to get our children to learn at home. It's just simple.
Gene, I get that. Absolutely. And you know, the reality is that not everybody can homeschool. Not everyone can afford to send their child to a private school. But, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, you know, those smaller communities where you are involved, you know the teachers know you, there is that sense of community. You're going to get your child's going to get a good education. And again, you are involved in, you know, in your grandson's education process. And that, but by and large, I'm telling you, Gene, I don't think the average mom and dad out there, I don't think they have a clue what their kids are being taught.
And that's true. And that's unfortunate. Like I said, I have a daughter that teaches in a larger school district, and and she shares with me not specifics, but generalities. And I totally agree with you. But it's difficult when opinions generalize everyone. And I'm sitting here going, but we're trying and we're struggling and we need that support system and that help from the public schools and to feel that we are less than because we are sending our grandson back to school. It's just
an unfortunate
feeling.
Don't feel that way. And we don't look. I mean, moms and dads ultimately are responsible for, you know, what happens. And, you know, if you send your kid to a public school, look, be involved. If you're sending your kid to a private school, be involved. That's a big part of it. So that's what parenting is. And Gene is a great example of that, grandparenting. All right, Gene, thanks for the call. Good job. New York Times. I didn't know this. I learned something new today. When you audition for a symphony, when you audition for an orchestra, I just thought you just walk in there with your violin or your cello or whatever, and you sit down and you play in front of the people and you audition, and you either get the job or you don't. That's not how it works. So in many of these orchestras, they have something called a blind audition. So you go into this room. You don't see the people judging you. The judges don't see you, and they don't know who you are from Adam. All they are doing is judging you on how you play that instrument. Well, that's a problem, according to the New York Times. Their chief classical music critic, yes, that's apparently a job at the New York Times, Anthony Tomasini, he is the chief classical musical critic at the New York Times. And he's very upset because, by and large, orchestras are not diverse. And by that, he believes there are not enough minorities in orchestras. And so he's wanting to do away with the process of blind auditions. In other words, The New York Times chief classical music critic wants musicians to be judged not based on how they play their instrument, but based on their race and gender. And I got to tell you, I don't know how that's going to work out, but one of the worst things in life, aside from rap music, is someone who trying to play the violin who cannot play the violin. It sounds like you're doing horrible things to a cat. I've been to a couple of churches, and you know they got the church orchestras. Avery, do you guys have a church orchestra at your church?
No, sir. We have a choir, but a while ago we used to have a pretty decent sized orchestra, if you will.
Avery plays the drums. Does that count?
Well, yeah, that does count.
I can do percussion for orchestral music.
Well, that's fancy. Is that on the business card?
That means you can play the drums.
For lack of a better word, yes, Caleb, I can play the drums. That's basically what that means.
All right, you got to let me finish telling my story, guys. We're coming up on the top of the hour news break here. So I went to a church years ago, and I'm not going to name it, not going to tell you the denomination, but they had a church orchestra, and it was like the church orchestra from Mayberry. They just could not find the right notes. But the worst offender was the violin player, and it sounded like something satanic was happening with the violinist. And at some point, you just wanted to go over and have like an exorcism. I had never heard such awful music. All that to say, wouldn't you want the best people to be in your orchestra, no matter what color they are? And how is it racist if you're just judging someone based on their musicality? So anyway, Legal Insurrection did a piece about this, and they brought up an interesting point. If racist, so these orchestras are only hiring the best of the best. If the best of the best happen to be whites or Asian Americans, is that racist? And some people, and I guess the music critic here for the New York Times says, yes, that's true. That if the best of the best is white or Asian American, and that's pretty much all you hire, that's racism. Okay, well, if that's the case, what do you call the NBA, the National Basketball Association? 844-747-8868. Oh, the ball just dropped. 844-747-8868. Hey, we got another hour. Stick around, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.